Before we get to this week's edition of The Wiggle Room, talking about episode number 8 of Survivor David versus Goliath, I want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Graze.com. Now, Graze.com is a snack subscription service that delivers delicious, unique snacks to your work or home. Nicole and I have been trying out a bunch of snacks from Graze.com. Nicole has been hoarding them. In fact, I've only gotten to try out one because Nicole says these are perfect for her to be able to take with her to work. Now, I have a busy podcast schedule. I like snacks. I especially like healthy snacks that I can eat on the go. And that's what Graze.com does, because you put in your snack preferences and they send you boxes with 8 self-contained packets of snacks, perfect for each day of the week. And you could even give one to the friend or not. You don't have to if you don't want to. They've got a great code for you to try out, Graze.com. Try out the tasty side of healthy snacking for yourself when you use the promo code Rob at Graze.com. Great for on the go or treating yourself without overdoing it. From savory combos to flapjacks and cookie dippers, they've got over 100 unique snack creations, including the honeycomb flapjack, rustic rolled out flapjack with honeycomb and chocolate drizzle. Also, cookies and cream. How about mini cocoa cookies, white chocolate buttons, chocolate fudge, and sunflower seeds? Worth playing for? I think so. Each snack is approved by their in-house nutritionist and contains no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives, so you can feel good about what you're snacking on when you sign up. Browse and rate all the snacks to help Graze handpick a personalized box to suit your preferences. So go over to Graze.com, Graze.com now, and get a free trial box that includes 4 of the top rated and most delicious snacks. Use the special code Rob, that's at Graze.com, with promo code Rob to get your free box of healthy and delicious snacks.
Check it out.
Josh.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Do the wiggle, man. I do the wiggle, man. Yeah.
Josh Wiggler, you've been slammed.
It's the best season ever. Don't at me. When 3 Daves team together to blindside the mayor, George Bushy of Tushy. It's the best season ever. Don't at me.
And that was this year's holiday Wandoff.
That's it. No more.
Okay, so we knocked that out. Good. All right.
Oh, my God.
So that's out of the way. That's out of the way. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Josh
oh my
Wiggler,
goodness.
How are you, buddy?
I am so thrilled to be here. I have honestly, this has been the hardest wait between a Survivor episode ending and the Wiggle Room beginning that I have experienced since the formation of the Wiggle Room.
Why?
I have just been so excited to talk about this episode.
You're giddy.
I am giddy. I am thrilled. Rob, I don't think that I've ever enjoyed Survivor more since I've like started covering Survivor. I was trying to think about this the other day. I started like actively covering the show on a regular basis, you know, the One World notwithstanding, and then doing some blogging for you. But like the full on doing interviews with everybody, that started for me probably the finale of Kagiyan. And that was one of the great, great experiences of my life. But the week to week, episode by episode coverage of Survivor, I have not enjoyed it more than here on David versus Goliath. Whether or not this is the best season of all time, don't at me or not, this has just been the most fun I have had with Survivor since I have been on the ground reporting about it. I'm just having a blast. This was tremendous. It was so good. So much fun. This is ridiculous. What a ridiculous week of Survivor.
Yeah, I feel like that Kagiyan was that for me. I'm trying to remember, were we having fun during Second Chances?
I mean, personally speaking, not to pull the curtain back too much, I was having kind of a horrible time. It was terrifying.
Why?
Like,
you were too gutted? You had too much invested in everybody?
No, I was filling in for Fishback on the Know-It-Alls, and I had to see how horrible I was doing every single week in the comments section, and it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. That was terrible. That wasn't great. That being said, I was just rewatching Cambodia for a thing that I was doing. It was the first time I had rewatched it since all of that went down, and That's going to be a very fun chapter of the evolution of strategy, let me say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing you were doing was not the evolution of strategy, just to be clear.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. It was not the evolution of strategy. We are not touching that for, please, maybe. Yeah,
we're not even going to start that until after season 40 is over. But if you want to start it, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday or whenever, evolutionofstrategy.com for that. 30 seasons of Survivor available.
Terrific for you to listen holiday to. Present. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, Josh, a lot to get to. I guess, why don't we start off with this big tribal council where the mayor of Slamtown ends up being the one to go home in this truly epic blindside.
It was amazing. I mean, and I thought that that Johnny Impact was fantastic on the show, and it's sad to lose him and all of that. I mean, he was really, honestly, I think he was better for podcasting, perhaps is a hot take, than he was for sheer entertainment value on the show. I think the surprising thing, you've talked about this on the podcast already, about John was that you expect him to be like this big, brash John Rocker type, or, you know, just like some major shit talker. And that was not the case. That just was not the guy that we got on this show. The guy we got on the show was a pretty genuine guy, seemed like a really nice guy, was liked by everybody, it seemed like, both by, you know, the players and fans alike. And so to see him go down in this way, it's brutal, because this was someone who you really, really enjoyed as a human being. And I think somebody who was a real Wednesday night delight of a surprise of a human being. And he goes out this way. But it feeds into this incredible, you know, slingshot moment here on David versus Goliath that I thought was just so much fun to watch. And I think it's also just a testament to the fact that we're at this point where there's, you know, very few people that you actively want to see go home at this point. Mm-hmm. So it was just great. Top to bottom, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Josh, if we were going to project out the rest of the season, and hypothetically, if the mayor of Slamtown made it, hypothetically, you want to say either Angelina goes home at this tribal council or Christian goes home at this tribal council, what is the outcome of the season? How does the rest of the season play out if John survives that night?
Well, I think that the easier way to chart that course would be if Christian were to go home in this spot, or another David, because I think once Christian goes home here or another David goes home here, I think it becomes a really difficult path for the Davids to rebound. Like, maybe one or two gets dragged towards the end as just like those spare votes along the way. Maybe one of them can pull out like some sort of Vanuatu Chris type of move and ninja pass the rest of the Goliaths. But let's just say Christian goes home, a David goes home here. I think it would be mostly a frog march for the Goliaths, and you would see a mostly Goliath-heavy final seven, if not entirely Goliath-y in the final seven. And I think that's one of the reasons why it was really wise to take out John of all the people here. To go back to talking about Cambodia for a second, it really reminded me in a lot of ways of the move where the three witches get Savage out of the game, where they knock him out and they take out this guy who is really the number one cheerleader of Bayon Strong and making sure that everybody from his original harmonious family sticks together. And once he is unplugged, the game becomes a lot more volatile all of a sudden, where suddenly you're in this place where Sierra should be going home next for sure, and she is able to sneak by a few more votes and only gets voted out of the game by the good graces of Jeremy playing an idol for Fish. There's a lot of similarities to that moment for me here, at least in terms of what the potential of getting rid of somebody like John is, because I think if John had stayed in the game, I think if John had hung around, I imagine Goliath stays pretty tight, and John's probably in a really good spot once they get down to basically just Goliaths.
Do you think that there's anything to this where we're looking at this from here on out, where such a big move happens at the final 12? Do you think that other people want to make equally big moves, or will try to replicate some of the fireworks that just sort of anecdotally, do you think, is that a thing?
for the future of Survivor or for this season?
The rest of the season, where a you know, big move was made, idols were played for other people. Do you feel like that other people will really try to follow suit, or do you think that things will get more conservative after this?
I mean, I hope that it's the first thing. I hope that we're in fireworks territory. I think that we're in a really exciting spot in the season right now. And I think you go back to last week's Wiggle Room. Somebody called me out on this on Twitter, that I think that I had said that we were probably due for like a really straightforward, boring tribal council this past week. To eulogize that hot take, nope! That was not the case. That was definitely not what went down. So I guess maybe I should say that we're going to be in for a really boring remainder of the season with the hopes that I'm going to be proven
so
wrong once again.
Boring.
Just, you know, like a real snooze fest is what we are looking for the rest of the season. What do you think?
Sometimes,
do you think it's going to be big and bombastic moving forward or what?
I mean, not speaking from experience, sometimes you could have a really great season that at the end starts to get really boring when, like, you know, people have like sort of a stranglehold on sort of the end game. But I think we are still pretty far away from that.
Was that a thinly veiled
nope.
The sunglasses down shading of Ghost Island by any chance?
Definitely not. But in terms of the mayor of Slamtown, yeah, he did bring a lot to the show. But in terms of where the game was going with him in it, I do think that was more of a straight shot as opposed to, you know, a scenario where he's really bouncing around with the different alliances.
Yeah, I think we got I think we got everything that we needed to get out of John Hannigan on Survivor. I don't know if that's a
hot
take.
With all due respect.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I think that he was really fun. The whole, you know, the confessional where he lists out all of his nicknames was absolutely tremendous. I always loved seeing how, like, he was this, you know, gigantic guy who also felt like he could be vulnerable enough to say how, like, he gets socially awkward. He feels anxious sometimes. Like, I thought that was a really cool thing to have this huge muscle man, like this man who is made of granite, just talking about how inside, like, he's a little bit of a weak guy and he wants to express that a little bit more. I thought that was cool. I really enjoyed that. I just don't know how much more we were going to be getting out of him compared to some of the people that are left behind here. But frankly, all three of the names that came up at this tribal council, Angelina, John, and Christian, in a perfect world, I didn't want to see any one of them go. But I think of those three, I think the one that I will be happiest about to lose is John, just because I think the sources of drama that Christian and Angelina bring to the table, I think, are a lot greater.
Okay. All right. So, Josh, you today or on Monday had a great interview that dropped with the host of Survivor about everything that's going on. Can you tell us about your interview with Mr. Jeff Probst?
Yes. So I've been doing these active player interviews along the way here on THR.com/Survivor for David versus Goliath. And we took a brief pause on that, not a cat pause, like actual timeout on that for this week, where I sat down with the Probst with the most to get his take on how David versus Goliath is rolling thus far. Which was nice because I haven't actually had that check in with him since the preseason about this season. We used to do the weekly thing and we haven't been doing the weekly thing on THR this season anymore. So it was nice to have like a real sit down of just like chewing the fat on everything that happened in this past episode. We really kind of drilled down specifically into this vote and the key players involved, with some casting stories about John and Nick and Christian and Davey. I think it's a good read. I'm very proud of it. I'm very happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, you can read the whole thing at THR.com/Survivor. So, Josh, could you give us a couple of nuggets for people? What were some of your big takeaways from your lengthy conversation with Jeff?
There was a lot. There was a lot in there that I really enjoyed getting his take on. I thought that one of the most compelling things was actually at the very end when I asked him to kind of forecast what's coming down the pike. What are we looking for in terms of the future of the season? Without, you know, getting into spoilers or anything, but in terms of the trajectory, and what he had said was in terms of what's to come this season, it's similar to when we're tracking the path of a storm that is projected to hit us. Oftentimes, those storms storms end up veering off their path and die in the ocean, but some storms never deviate from their path. That's what happened with the cyclone that forced the evacuation earlier in the season. It was projected to hit us, and it did. That's how I feel about this season. The path it's on right now is the path it stays on. I think it finishes strong, and I hope fans feel the same way. So that's encouraging, right? Like, that sounds like, I want to see that season. I want to see this season continue down the path it's on. I like the path it's on.
Yeah. That's encouraging. Certainly more encouraging than if Jeff said the opposite.
I mean, he's not going to come on here and say, sorry, the rest of the season sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, take it with a grain of salt, but encouraging to hear. He didn't change the subject.
No, he didn't change the subject. But I also asked him if he could share any insight into what he's thinking in terms of how this is all going to wrap up with the live finale and the reunion show, and if there were any format tweaks he's mulling over. So I'd be curious to get your take on this, Rob. A little bit circular, but I think at the very least, I think it breaks down how Jeff views the final episode of a given season of Survivor. So this is what Jeff says. For the live show, I'm always torn about how best to produce that show. I'm open to ideas. Personally, I view our 3-hour finale night as just that, 3 hours of Survivor. The question becomes how best to spend the time. Not simply what will garner the best rating, but also what best serves the show. It starts with our final episode, which is scheduled for 2 hours, but because we have that third hour reserved for the reunion show, we don't worry if we go a bit long. We have the time. The second layer is the live feel you want to create on a finale night. You want it to be an event night so that the fans get excited, and if someone new comes across the finale, they might be excited to check us out and we might gain a new fan. Then the final piece is the reunion show, where we reflect with the players about the season. That's how I prioritize it. Spend as much time as you need to make sure the finale is great, make it feel like a big night, and then spend the remaining time talking with the players. But the network sells the show to advertisers in a certain way, and we obviously have to respect that, because without advertisers, we don't have a show. So it's a bit of a puzzle each season, and you try to determine the best way to serve the show, the audience, and of course the network, while getting the highest rating. We're very lucky to have a great relationship with CBS. We literally just get on the phone and talk about it and figure it out. I don't think it could be any easier or more mutually respectful. I've heard from friends that it's not always this way on other shows. An ominous note to end that on. But that's Jeff. That's Jeff talking about the live show and how he's producing the live show, which I know the live show has been getting its fair share of knocks in recent Survivor history, though I think really, like, probably for most of Survivor. I don't think that, you know, how many times in the evolution of strategy were we like, man, yeah, that was an incredible reunion.
Every reunion show is the worst reunion show ever. All right, so let me try to decipher what I think Jeff is saying here. Okay, so let me, and maybe I'm right and maybe I'm wrong. I'm not the Jeff whisperer, but I think what Jeff is saying is, look, we have 3 hours. It's not a 1 hour reunion show. We're gonna probably go to about 10:25, 10:30 on the finale night. We have 6 people usually at the end, and so we're already cutting the reunion short. Then sometimes they make us talk about TKO. That's not my call. I have to do it. We have a great thing with CBS. Sometimes Mark Burnett or CBS has a show they want to promote. That's not my call. Don't at me.
Yes. Yeah, I read that the same way. Personally, I read that the same way. And I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I think, in monitoring some of the responses to the article and the section about the reunion show in particular, I do think that there's something to be said for the fact that a lot of what you are, you know, you used to be, you know, expecting and you're traditionally hoping from the reunion show, that Jeff is going to get a chance to talk to everybody and you're going to get to hear some kind of update on how everybody's doing or like get some insight into what happened in the game. I think a lot of that territory gets covered these days in exit press or in podcasts with you or other long form interviews or whatever. That personally, I think that for me, if the move becomes a longer finale to accommodate the story of 6, you know, different players that are going to have their fates decided in one episode that's typically 2 hours, but now maybe is like closer to pushing 2.5. I'm good with that. That sounds fun to me. I would certainly prefer that than to have like a rushed 2-hour finale and then 1 hour of stuff that's probably ultimately going to be kind of redundant, a little repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I'm happy with that. That works for me. And I could do without the TKO stuff, but well, there's a business to be run here.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I personally would wish that they would start the finale with 5 people instead of 6, because I think that we are getting a lot of great final 6 stuff that probably deserves its own episode. I think that the final 6 is one of the most exciting votes of the season, certainly as demonstrated last season and in Second Chances. And so I do think that that gets yada-yada'd a bit, where I think that a week to sort of digest everything that happens at the final 6 would be nice. And then the finale, because I do feel like that the finale can be dizzying, where it's like, you know, immunity challenge, tribal council, immunity challenge, tribal council, immunity challenge, fire making challenge, you know, it's just like boom, 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 boom. And, you know, there's so much stuff going on. Sure. I might have had one extra immunity challenge in there, but it's a lot.
It's a lot. And I mean, I think you and I have talked about this quite a bit, of this idea of like Survivor the movie. Like it's the movie version of Survivor on finale night. And that's kind of what it's become, where it is this big action packed odyssey, or Odyssey, if you prefer, where, you know, you're on this journey to find out who the winner is and all of these different hoops that everybody has to go through in order to get there. And I think that final 6 vote, typically, as you say, it is an exciting vote. And so I can understand it from Survivor's perspective. It's like, well, let's start with our best foot forward. That's a really exciting tribal council. Let's start there. Let's have that be the, you know, the tone setter for the finale. And I think it does often make for a really exciting finale. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind it personally. I do think from like a podcasting perspective, or like the online fan engagement of like, I really want to live with an episode for a week to really think about all of the possible ramifications for where it can go next. I understand wanting to have that final 6 episode on its own. But I also think that there's this quality about the end of the game right now that is so propulsive, with, you know, that final 6, final 5, final 4, final 3, just like winnowing down so fast over the course of like, you know, a big major event every single day, that I think it'd be pretty fun. Anyway, yep. I don't know.
It's a lot to absorb. In terms of I podcast about the show, and it's very hard for me to think back to, you know, even last season of like, so I think that Wendell won the 6 and 5 immunity. I think that Dominic won the 4. But, you know, if I can't even recall it right away, like I feel like that it's just like such a blur.
Yeah, but I also think, and now we're a little bit in the weeds, I think that like you, I could certainly say this for me, like we're in the position of like, we now have to immediately like very closely track the very next season. And for me, like all of this stuff becomes mush until I revisit it. That's just how my brain works. So, you know, I don't know what you're going to do about any of that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, too much of a free for all. I prefer to, you know, I like to, you know, sip and savor more than just like gorge.
I like to chug and get blackout drunk. So this works for me.
Okay. Josh, let me give you a question that we got from one of our listeners. This is a question from one of our listeners, Richard, who says, Rob and Josh, did you bring up in any of your recent podcasts Alec mouthing word for word Jeff Probst's challenge speech in episode 8? I thought it was pretty hilarious and really exposed Alec as a super fan to us. Now, I did not notice this in my first viewing, but I did see people talking about it on Twitter. Have you seen any of this?
No. This is brand new news to me, and I just rewatched the episode literally 5 minutes before we got on here.
So there's no sound clip to play, but where Jeff is talking about, all right, first things first, give me that immunity necklace. And, you know, he's doing his whole spiel before the challenge. Alec is like mouthing the words, almost like the, you know, the teacher is talking and he's pretending like the words are coming out of his mouth. Like it's very funny and unusual. We've never seen anything like that.
Wow. Between that and Mike White telling Probst to shove it, you know, got nothing for you. Jeff's really getting noogied pretty hard by the survivors this week.
Yeah, there was this moment.
We got nothing for you either.
Finally, somebody says what people have been wanting to say for years.
Yes, yes, the cat claps back.
Yeah, Jeff did take that very well, right?
He did. He did take it well. I think if it had come from almost anybody else, he would have been like, turn off the cameras. I got to see this human being.
Yeah.
I think it would have just ripped him in half. But Mike White, he can take it from Mike White. That's like getting mocked by Penner. I think it's the power of the fedora.
My ass.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Josh, you know, we do at least say that we cover the story and the characters here in the Wiggle Room. And you touched on this quite a bit in your interview with Jeff about the theme David versus Goliath and how well it played out. Do you think that we will see moving forward more themes that are sort of like around a narrative? Because I have seen a lot of people be very complimentary of the theme, not just you in talking with Jeff Probst, but I've seen that a lot of places this week. People are actually like really have come around on the, you know, how well David versus Goliath is executed. Do you think that we will see this in different forms, or do you think that we will go back to some version of, you know, three adjectives that start with the same letter?
You mean like Survivor Rocky versus Drago?
I mean, that would be a natural tie-in with Creed 2.
Survivor Rick versus Negan.
Rocky versus Creed versus Drago, I think that they'd have to.
Oh, the Creed tribe is going to get decimated real fast. It's going to be a real heartbreaker. I don't know. I hope so. I think so. I think that that would be the way that I would want to see it go right now. I think that the classification into, first of all, look, where I would really like to see it go is other locations around the world in my heart of hearts. I think that that is something that I do miss from the show. And I think that that would make things easier, especially in this game that is played of having to figure out what is the theme every single season. I wish that we could, or even if we just like said no theme and it's just now Survivor 39, Survivor 40, whatever, you know, I think I would probably ultimately advocate for that in some way, shape or form. But if themes are going to be the way of it here on out moving forward, I think something that kind of frames things with this more epic quality than Heroes, Healers and Hustlers did. I think that Ghost Island had a compelling idea that because of all of the various game mechanics that were built into that concept made it really, really complicated to follow. But I like this idea of maybe something a little cleaner and maybe a little more mythological in nature than doing like the third iteration of Brains, Beauty, Brawn. You know, all due respect to both of those seasons, which are fantastic seasons and maybe are not the best examples to knock in terms of theme.
Do you think it's more likely that we see David versus Goliath 2 coming soon, or some different spin on David versus Goliath where it's Little Mac versus Piston Honda?
Versus Glass Joe.
Versus Super Macho Man.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think when Millennials versus Gen X happened, and that was a really fun season as well. I really enjoyed watching that season. I loved how they slugged it out on that one. I really expected that we were going to see either Millennials Gen X 2 or Millennial Island even potentially, and Survivor just did not go back to that well, or that wall, that Will Wall. But I don't expect that they're going to do the same thing here with David versus Goliath. I don't think that they're going to do David versus Goliath 2. I think that they're going to want to do a postmortem on what worked well with this theme. What can we divine from that, and how can we apply that to a new idea? I think one of the things that's characteristic of Survivor in its 30s is, and this is not without exceptions to the rule, what I'm about to say, is that they're not looking back quite as much. I think that they really are moving forward, maybe at a pace that is alarming for many people, which brought us to Advantage Geddon in Game Changers. Exceptions to the rule being the fact that Ghost Island is literally built on looking back, and Game Changers is a thin, pale imitation of Cambodia. But I think that you see where, like, rather than have several seasons in a row where the only new advantage that's been thrown into the game is an extra vote, Survivor immediately in the very next season evolved that idea into the vote steal. There's this idea that there's things that are just constantly being added in terms of the different elements within the game, that I think that speaks to the fact to me that they're probably not going to want to spin their wheels on the same theme. Whether or not they end up coming up with a really good, compelling theme that's a worthy successor of what they've come up with this season, which is not like the most, you know, ultra shut it down, slam dunk genius theme of all time, but it's clean.
Genius.
It's clean, you know, it's a clean theme where I think that you understand whether or not you can quibble with who wound up on David and who wound up on Goliath. I think that you can get your head around the idea that this tribe is supposed to be filled with underdogs and this tribe is supposed to be filled with people who have it a little bit easier and watch them go to work. Like, it's just a much straighter idea than some of the themes we've seen in the past. I just think that Survivor kind of has this idea of just like a shark, Rob, always moving. Got to be moving forward at all times.
You and I here in the Wiggle Room, we do try to always keep moving forward and looking ahead to what's to come this Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve. We'll get our 9th episode of Survivor David versus Goliath. We had this huge shakeup in the game this week. Josh, how do you think the dust will settle coming into Wednesday night?
I think Davey Rickenbacker is going to eat everybody alive is what I think is going to happen. That's what I think is going to happen next. We can no longer discount Devilish Davey. I think Devilish Davey is just going to annihilate everybody who is currently on the beach.
Okay. What is this, your new winner pick?
No, it's not my new winner pick. I can't deviate away from Dr. Allison. I made Dr. Allison my pick. I'm riding Dr. Allison as my winner pick till the end of time, or until the end of her time in the game, at the very least. No, I just love Davey. I thought Davey was fantastic this week, and it was super amazing, and I really enjoyed watching what Davey did. And it's crazy to me that Davey wasn't even supposed to be there, and then he's out there, and his name is Davey, and he slays the most Goliath-y Goliath. It's remarkable. It's just great stuff. I just want to watch Davey as the David just completely slay everybody, at least for a little while. That would be very, very fun for me.
Okay. I hear
like
that
he was doing the Morgan stick twirls.
Yeah. Well, that is his dream, to be in The Walking Dead.
Yes.
You know, me being out here, I already feel like I'm a part of an apocalypse, which is my other dream.
Who dreams that they want to be in an apocalypse? I mean, I can understand that being like a recurring nightmare.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a weird thing to say.
It is. It's so weird.
Okay. But Josh, with this final 11, okay, so you're high on Davey, but what does it look like in terms of the vote? Do you think that we will see the Goliaths scatter like the, you know, breaking the rack in the opening of a pool game?
I think that's possible.
Is that the right metaphor?
I'm not a pool guy. You got to ask my Uncle Phil. I think...
Phil from Canada?
What are you doing with that, by the way, Phil? No, Phil from Bel Air. I expect that the Davids are going to stick together. I don't know if the Goliaths are going to band together still, or if they're going to move apart. But if I'm the Davids and I'm that five, I use that, you know, three of them already know about the steal a vote, right? Like, they already know about the vote steal. This is your time to just yank that away from one of the Goliaths and take a Goliath out. I would be, here we go again. So a David's going to go home. I would be very surprised if a Goliath doesn't go home next. That would be my thing. Coming into this, I think it just makes so much sense to use this vote steal right here, right now, when the numbers are as close as they are, when it's 6-5 Goliath against David, and you can very, very swiftly just yank that away and make a move on Goliath now. I'd be surprised if that doesn't happen in this week's episode.
Do you want to call your shot on which Goliath it could be?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I agree with you. I do agree with you. I do feel like that the Davids, even though they don't have the numbers, do have the edge with the vote steal, and potentially with Alec being the flipper.
With Dan having just played his idol, I could see them thinking that that's a little bit of a hot stove to place all of your eggs in that jacket. So I could see them wanting to go against somebody who is like decisively close to Dan. So I could see it being Kara. I think Kara could be somebody that we see go home in this week's episode. I'm hoping it's not Angelina because she's so much fun and I don't want to lose Angelina yet.
Okay, Josh, let's try a new game. Okay, I've got a big Goliath pumpkin pie. Okay, let's assign percentages to what slice of the Goliath pie are we going to serve up on Thanksgiving Eve?
All right, are you going to keep track of
I'll keep track of it. And it's going to add up to 100. We're not going to have like Kalish math here. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Kara K.
I think Kara gets a huge chunk of pie for me. I think that Kara would
slice?
I think Kara gets a big slice of pie. So we're talking about six people here. I don't want to give her too much pie. I don't want to withhold pie from everybody else. How about I start with somebody who I don't think it'll be? How about we go there? And I feel decently good about Alec because Alec has been shown to want to work with the Davids before. I could see him after a move like the one that happened this past week being like, yeah, cool, you guys really are the people I want to work with, like let's just do this. I could see Alec getting a 5% slice of pie.
Very 5%. Okay, yeah,
thin sliver.
And I think that 5% looks like, hey, this guy screwed us over last week. Let's vote him out, and they somehow maybe whether it's a David coming on. So okay, 5%, very sliver. Alec's like, can I just get a taste? Can I just taste it?
I already regret that because I think you just articulated a good reason for why Alec.
Well, I mean, that's the. I don't think it'll happen. Like numerically, I'm not sure that makes a ton of sense. Or like if Alec somehow pisses off the Davids, also where everybody's like, let's just get rid of that guy and use our vote steal at the next vote, where we're almost like getting a free vote, but can we trust them? So, I think that is the one where potentially, he could go home.
So I'm torn now on the next pick of Mike. Or I was always going to say Dr. Mike. He is no doctor. Let's not. Hey. We've been away from Dr. Mike for a little while. Mike or Dr. Allison was what I was going to say.
I'm worried about Dr. Mike. I haven't heard from him in months.
Have you really not heard from Dr. Mike in months?
It's been a very long time. I wonder if he's out.
Dr. Mike and I were texting the other day. I will assure you that Mike is still alive and out there and doing just fine. In fact, I hadn't heard from him in a good long while, and then he texted me something absolutely ridiculous but is not going to be super entertaining for podcasting purposes while I was wearing a Z Urology t-shirt just by chance. So, you know, the force ghost of Dr. Mike, the astral force projection.
Not since my birthday have I. So it'll be 1 month exactly since you've been when you're listening to this. Not to go on too much of a distraction. Okay, so I agree with you, Mike White and Dr. Allison. I feel like comfortable giving them almost 0% of the pie.
See, but that's why I want to give them a little bit more than I would give Alec, is because I think that these could potentially be safe people to go after. Like if you're worried about another idol being out there, if you're worried that an idol could be played on somebody that is, whether Dan has an idol or if Dan has an idol and he's willing to play it on Kara, I think that you can't imagine that Mike or Allison are really going to be, are the people who are going to be like thought of to be protected in a moment like that. So I could imagine both of them being in a little bit of danger just as like an outside the box pick.
But we're giving away too much pie. We're going to get to like Angelina and realize that we've got like a quarter of the pie left for her. And I think that we should then take the same sliver that we gave Alec and cut it in two.
Really? That's it? That's all the pie we're going to give?
I mean, what's the, tell me what
listen,
it looks
hey,
like
you
when
you do it, you do it, you've got the knife, you've got the pie, carve it up. Let's do it.
Like, what are we seeing on Wednesday night where Mike White is getting voted out?
I mean, he's not a super likely pick. Alec is probably a likelier pick because he is the challenge god that he has been. And maybe, you could see people backfiring on him. And then you could see all the Davids being like, yeah, I think that the wind is just blowing in Alec's direction. So maybe even though he was, showing that he was willing to work with us, we could just, shave down the Goliaths by one. So maybe you boost Alec's pie portion up to 10 and you give 5 and 5 to Allison and Mike. How about that?
Okay.
Now we got 20% of the pie is taken care of.
You're wasting a lot of pie, but I'll I don't want to argue over dessert.
I'm trying to divide the pie in a way that leaves us with options. And now we've got 80% of the pie.
I am a greedy dessert eater, Josh. I watch what my kids are eating. Like, they're wasting it. I could have been eating this dessert.
But I like pumpkin pie. I don't love pumpkin pie. So I'm happy to give away, I'm happy to share the wealth because I don't need any for myself.
All right.
If it was apple crisp, we'd be talking a different game.
Okay. Now, I guess there is also the possibility that a David could go home. We're not figuring that out. That's a different pie.
That's a totally different pie.
That's an apple pie, and that we're not going to talk about that today.
No, that's a different pie. A raspberry pie is something that is not on this island. So let's keep talking pumpkin pie. All right, so that leaves us with three. And however,
although I bet Christian, is familiar with the raspberry pie.
However you want to assign it out, I think that I would rank it this way. I think that Kara would be my number one pick. Then I think that I would put Dan, then Angelina, I think is the way that I would go in terms of the biggest to least amount of pie.
I think I would start with Angelina because I think that we have already established Angelina does not have an idol. So
yeah.
If you were going to take a shot on her, I think that people don't know that Dan has a second idol, which might be, okay, well, let's take the shot on Dan. Dan knows he has the idol. So there's, they may get a shot in on Dan, but Dan may, he actually may be able to thwart it with an idol. And that could be, where it bounces off and then something crazy happens. But I would give Angelina the biggest slice of the pie.
I just think that Angelina has been so high profile. And I mean, I guess the argument there would be that since she's so high profile, everybody wants to just do what they can to make sure she goes home. Maybe she's an agreeable person to vote out next. But I think that, like, from the David's perspective, the person that you want to get rid of now, I think, is somebody that is in the mold of a John Hennigan, somebody who is, like, uniformly liked across the game, or at least somebody who is, like, uniformly really, really tight, gung-ho, Goliath, Goliath, Goliath all the way. And I guess Angelina falls under that category, that she has been beating the Goliath strong drum, but she's also been shown to be, like, really shut down by some of the people that she's been playing with. I feel like to unplug that person from the game, when you could go after somebody who is, like, a little bit more of a decisively valued member of that alliance, I think that's probably the person that I would want to target if I'm a Dave, and that's why I would go with Kara or Dan over Angelina personally.
I think there's also a possibility that Dan and Angelina, who have had friction, are also poisoning the well against each other.
Right.
Like, if they suspect there could be something coming, although they wouldn't necessarily know about the vote steal, but if Alec looks as though he's going to be joining forces with the David, like, I don't know who's leading the charge for Kara.
I think that the reason to go after someone like Kara is similar to the logic of, like, why you go after Jessica in Triple H. When you want to, if you want to weaken Cole, you go after Jessica. If you want to weaken Dan, maybe you go after Kara. I think Kara has also been shown in the past to be somebody who is very social and very good at making friends with people. Everybody in the game seems to really like Kara. And I think that that, to me, is a compelling person to remove from the game right now, because that would just further send Goliath into a tailspin. To get rid of Kara, who I think in many respects of the three people we're talking about, I think is possibly the strongest of those three, the strongest player of those three.
Okay.
So yeah.
You have 80% of this pie to give out at this dessert table. Who is, you think Kara should get the biggest slice of this pie?
I don't know, man. I hate this. This is terrible. This is math. I told you last week I didn't want to do math.
It's not factorials.
And then you blindsided me with more math. I didn't come into your thinking there would be math.
I think it's fun to actually, put our name on something that we are coming. People are going to come away from this podcast and then say, this is the person we think is the most likely to go home, the second most likely, third most likely.
But pie percentages are reductive and arbitrary.
No, see, I'll say the same thing about people want us to have some concrete, like, put ourselves out there. If we can't, then who?
All right. I'm going to give this is terrible podcasting. I'm going to give 30% of the pie to Kara.
Okay.
You have 50 left.
I'm going to give 30% of the pie to Dan.
Okay.
I'm going to give
only 20 to Angelina.
I'm going to give 20% to Angelina. I'm going to say that I think that Kara or Dan will go this week. I think if they're going to do something that is going to be like really risky and crazy, they'll go after Dan. If they want a more conservative play, they'll go after Kara. And I just don't think that Angelina's story ends here. I think that there's more Angelina for us. And
we should hope so.
And I think she's the wrong person to go after right now, because I think like if things just get crazier and crazier with Goliath, I think that Angelina is potentially somebody that you want to have still around, because if the Goliaths start flailing and they need to like, you know, stop gap everything that's going on, like stop the bleeding, they'll want to go after somebody who they could agree with on the Davids, with the Davids, that maybe they could all be on the same page and get rid of Angelina. So I think Angelina is going to make it through the Thanksgiving episode, and I think that it's going to be one of Dan or Kara, but I can't pick which one. If you really want me to do 31 to 1 and 29 to the other,
that's fine. I'll make it the same. Look, it's a pie chart. You can give them the same. So Josh Wiggler is saying that 30% of the pie is going to Kara. 30% of the pie is going to Dan. 20% of the pie is going to Angelina. And then the last 20%, 5 is going to Allison, 5 is going to Mike, and 10 is going to Alec. My pie, I feel like I brought my own pie and I'm going to cut it up this way. We might have really lost people at this point.
You lost me.
I lost you. I'd give a crumb to Mike White and to Allison, 5% to Alec. And then I have, bought back a lot of the pie here. And I think I would end up with, whatever is left. I'd go about, maybe 40 to Angelina.
Wow.
30 to Dan, 25 to Kara, and then, 5 to Alec, and then crumbs to the other people. I think that's right.
Wow. All right.
55. We'll hear about it if it's not.
Oh my God. We're going to hear about it either way. This is the worst segment in Wiggle Room history.
It is? That's the worst?
I think it's pretty up there. I would love to see what some of the other contenders are. Cue the avalanche of Wandoff haters who say it's the Wanda.
Okay. All right. So, Josh, anything else?
I'm sure that we will find
pizza.
Other...
Anything else on the pizza?
Oh, the pizza. I imagined Nicole was not thrilled at the sight of the pineapple pizza. Didn't bother me. I would have been thrilled to have a bite of that pizza in that moment. It looked good. Pizza looked good. I thought it looked pretty good. They had so much pizza. Two pizzas per person
pizza.
Is an insane amount of pizza. And on top of that, the garlic bread. Oh my God. Don't make out with any of those people after that meal. It's not good.
What do you think about this hot take from Alec?
I don't want crust, bro.
I don't want crust, bro.
I would have taken the crust. I thought that there was like the moment where like, oh, save some for the end. Don't eat it all before the last person. I thought Dan, who was the last person to eat any of the pizza, looked like he had the sweetest bite of them all. Mm-hmm. He was left with the final bite, and there was like a decent amount of like crust, sauce, and cheese in there. They must have like all been like taking like real like baby bird bites, and then they gave him like a real Goliath.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody wanted to be like outed as like, you took the big bite.
Maybe you want like final bite is the
maybe
move.
Maybe that's what Tyson's move was. He wanted to pick last. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Josh. Anything else before we get into the wand off?
No, I loved it. I thought that the whole thing with the, you know, in the beginning of the episode and finding the vote steal was so much fun. I'm excited for your shirts. I'm excited for Stephen Fishback's shirt that already existed with that.
Well,
logo
explain what
on
you're
it.
Talking about.
There's an episode of Survivor Cambodia, which again I was rewatching, and then I watched this episode of David versus Goliath, where Nick is talking about how this multicolored insignia, the advantage clue, looks like it would be awesome on a shirt.
I've got the clip. Here is Nick.
Symbol I remember from the merge piece that looks like a cool 80s design I could put on a t-shirt.
Yeah, and then I was like, wait a minute, I just saw that shirt. And I went back and watched the episode of Survivor Cambodia that I had just been watching where Steven's on the jury and he is wearing that design as like a Tommy Bahama. Like, it's just incredible. It's amazing.
That was the inspiration for it. Yeah. Go ahead and check out Josh Wiggler's Twitter for the visual on that. And if you want to take a look at our Merge Feast Clue-inspired t-shirt, an original design from Brian Malloy. Check that out, along with all of our other RHAP apparel at rhapstore.com. All right, Josh, before we get into the wand off, let me go ahead and thank a sponsor. Those are friends over at Legacy Box. Now, holidays are coming up, and I think this is such a great gift idea for anybody in your family. We all have a ton of home movies, and unless you're Brent the Shower Man, everybody's family hasn't done a great job of organizing all this so we can have it and look at it anytime. And there are so many great memories that are just sitting there on ancient media. That's you know, a terrible theme song for a TV show, ancient media. Yeah, all of these tapes and things that we just can't access because we don't have the right devices hooked up anymore. Legacy Box is going to solve that problem, because what they will do is digitize your media and take great care of it when they send you the Legacy Box box to your house. And then you load in all of the media you want to have digitized, and then you will get reports all along the way. They will scan and barcode everything you send them and then digitize it and update you about the process the whole way through.
Wow, I'm ready for this. I have so many home videos of me dancing like a fool at the elementary school lip sync where I flipped off the whole auditorium. I need that. I need that to be digitized.
Like Elizabeth Olsen?
Yeah, except this one I meant. I really meant that, and I want that immortalized forever. You can't scrub it off the internet.
Yeah, you can become the family hero this holiday season when you bring back lost memories for everybody to watch and see again. Just go ahead, send your legacy box filled with your old home movies and pictures. They'll do the rest, professionally digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, a digital download, or DVD with easy-to-follow instructions, safety barcodes included on every single item. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box over a decade of experience, and all the work is done by hand right here in the USA, and they've got a great offer for our listeners. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, they're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/Rob for 40% off your first order, or save up to $200 on the largest Legacy Box kit. Go to LegacyBox.com/Rob and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past. Now, Josh, when we were talking about the Goliaths and we were splitting up the pumpkin pie, I feel
you were losing
interest. Would it have been more interesting for you if we were cutting up a pineapple pizza pie?
Yeah, definitely. I would have taken the least pineapple-y bit out of solidarity with Nicole. But I would have eaten whatever. Just give me the pizza.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda. And you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life. If you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here.
Think that the pineapple pizza was more pandering to RHAP because it was timed so well with the recent birth of Pineapple Boy 27?
Yes, I think so. I think they really Wiggle Room first one out, Pineapple Boy 27.
That's the way.
Yes.
Oh my God. Excited to get into the wand off today. I saw that there was some recent debate about how you spell Wandoff. I didn't realize that this was controversial, but I saw this in the Rob Has a Patron Facebook group, and there was some question about it. And just to clear it up, I'd seen some people wonder if it was Wandoff, like hyphenated, W-A-N-D hyphen O-F-F. I just spell it Wandoff, just W-A-N-D-O-F-F.
Just no hyphen.
No, I just go one word. It's not like Spider-Man, where you have to hyphenate the spider and the man. It's just Wandoff.
Okay.
I liked Steve Chung had a great suggestion that it was Wandoff where it's a man named Juan, last name Doff, D-O-F-F. I thought that was great. And if there's anybody named Juan Doff who listens to the Juan Doff, I will, if you can verify that you are truly this person, I will give you a Wombat's hat.
Wow. Imagine.
It has to be verifiably, like this cannot be like a fake thing. Like if you're actually Juan Doff, I want to know you.
Imagine, Josh, close your eyes. It'll tell you a face story of God. You're sitting on the beach, season 39, Fiji. A man sits at a table in front of you. You say to him, okay, tell me about yourself. He says, my name is Juan Doff.
Yes. Instant winner pick. Immediate winner pick. And likely first one out. Juan Doff, right. I am waiting for you to play Survivor. We all are.
Okay. All right. Last week in the Wiggle Room, week 7, Juan Doff, third place with 17.53% of the vote as tabulated by the tabulator, Kurt Clark, who's back from his voyage at sea.
Yes.
Third place last week, Scott Chupak and Aaron Robertson in third place with the song that was all about the factorials, educational song.
Very educational.
Okay. In second place last week, with 18.63% of the vote. I believe this is a first time to the top three for Matt from Waterloo with Cry.
Nice.
All about Gabby.
Wow.
But
no tears at second place. That's really good.
No tears, but it was a bit of a runaway this week.
You would say the winner got the lion's share of the pumpkin pie.
Huge share of pumpkin pie. May have a stomach ache with 46.85% of the vote. Almost half of the whole darn pie. And it was Alex G with Elizabeth's Feud Symphony.
Stupid people.
The structure's inside your Goliath crew. I thought you knew. Well, now you do. Elizabeth and Angelina's feud.
Yeah. Congratulations to Alex G going back to this season's final Wandoff. Of course, that will take place the week before the finale episode. So look for the final Wandoff to take place mid-December of this year.
Oh my God, we're getting close. We're getting very close. I also really like that song from Alex G because when he starts repeating the word feud over and over again, I hear it as fugue, like I'm entering a fugue state and I'm not going to be held accountable for my actions while listening to the rest of the song.
Okay. A man who also is never held accountable for his actions. Let's bring in the host of the Wandoff, and it is Mr. Casey Kasem. Rob, it's a pleasure to be back here counting down the Wandoff hits for week number 8. Josh, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Casey. Happy Thanksgiving to you. How much pumpkin pie should we have reserved for you?
I couldn't believe how terrible the pumpkin pie segment was.
It wasn't
you
great.
You guys hit a new low, baby. Rob should do one less podcast a week and come up with some new material.
I mean, I don't disagree personally, but I shouldn't say any more than that because then we're going to just get very rude or self-sabotaging.
All right. Let's get to this week's honorable mentions. So many great songs. Over 40 Wandoff tracks are on the SoundCloud playlist for week number 8 of Survivor, David versus Goliath.
Oh my God. It's a lot. We still haven't quite cracked 400 Wandoffs. I feel like I scared Aaron away.
Josh, before we get to the honorable mentions, next time you talk to Jeff Probst, I want to pitch you on a new Survivor theme idea.
Ooh, what is it?
It's called Survivor Casey at the Bat.
So is it just like you?
There's a team of Casey's and a team of people playing against Mudville.
Okay, I like it.
Everybody is a Casey or the pitcher's trying to strike Casey out.
Okay, I'm here for it.
Let's get to this week's honorable mentions after a jam-packed week of Survivor David versus Goliath. This week, we've got an honorable mention from one of our listeners named Matt P.
who wants to talk about the betrayal that went on when Mr. Mike White decided to vote against his buddy from the rock stars in Nick Wilson.
I don't know what's going on with Mike. I thought we were on the same page. Well, now all of a sudden, he wants Christian out immediately. And I'm like, what happened?
Rock stars, we were once in a life.
That was from the hit musical Cats Ederson.
Oh, nice. I was wondering, I don't know, believe it or not, I don't know Cats very well, even though I do love Andrew Lloyd Webber, but I do know the character who I was hoping you would credit as Mr. Mustafa Lee C. Linares.
Coming soon to an off-Broadway theater near you.
Oh my gosh. They're making the movie. Everybody is going to be in this movie. Making the Cats movie. Idris Elba is going to be in it. Rebel Wilson.
Directed by Mike White.
I would hope that he is in it. I hope that Nick Wilson is Mr. Mistopheles. This is what I want out of life. If nothing else, this is it. I'll surrender next all up, the pie. Every single one just to make it happen.
Next up is Mr. Aaron Robertson, and he's back together with his co-collaborator, Nick Fishman, and they're here to talk about what Davey was up to when Nick was looking for the advantage.
Davey was kung fu fighting. Those girls were super distracting. What they found could cause a swing. Just gotta use it with expert timing. They each own three cool things, held by three cool guys. They are checking them well, saying their goodbyes. It's a complicated split vote move. David's got something to prove. Begun with the combo with the stick, with info provided by Nick.
That was a song from the artist Carl Boudreau Douglas.
Oh man, I can't say enough for how much I enjoyed Davey doing the full Star Wars kid to distract everybody on that beach. It was just unbelievably fantastic.
Has anybody put a lightsaber on the stick that Davey was holding yet?
Wow, I have not seen it, and that is surprising. And I certainly hope by end of day on Tuesday, November 20th, we do get that. That's something we deserve in our lives.
Davey, the Empire Strikes Rickenbacker.
Oh my God. I mean, we definitely have that chapter is named The Empire Strikes Rickenbacker is already set. We already have The Empire Strikes Reichenbach, and it makes sense for us to have The Empire Strikes Rickenbacker.
Next up, we've got another one of our listeners, Jason, who was very fixated on Davey's diversion.
How do we dig up the advantage without anybody noticing? Because the Goliaths are all on the beach, and we can't let them find out. I'll distract them all by twirling this giant stick. So take a look at me now. Don't look at Carl or Nick. There's nothing going on behind you. This is definitely not a trick.
That was a classic from Phil Aaron Collins.
Wow. Remarkable. Truly, truly wonderful. Mesmerizing.
Next up, we had a lot of people that wanted to talk about that epic tribal council. Here's Sammy and the Shower Man.
Wah, 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 Wanda. what? You wanna mess with David? Watch, Goliath is gonna fall, slingshot him in the head. Wanda gotta stop in the middle of the song, showing our half love, but none for the haters, the haters. Go talk to Pineapple Boy, see you later. Post-merge and the season's only getting greater. Don't at me, Wiggler said it's the greatest. I got a fever from seeing all that Survivor pizza. Nick's clue looks like
I can put on a t-shirt. You're
buying this. Damn, that shirt's fresh, only one width. The bell and the beach and the bird and the tree and all this from the merge drawing, it's awesome. Yes, y'all. But we gotta talk about Nick and Davis.
It's a lot.
And Nick and Davey did it. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Nick and Davey did it.
That was a classic jam from Will Susie Smith.
Wow. I like that. I like to hear from Susie.
This week, we had an epic blindside at the tribal council of Mr. John Morrison as he said goodbye to his fellow castmates from Survivor, David versus Goliath.
This is town control of the mayor, John. You've really made your mark. And the super fans agree you made an impact. But they're mostly glad that David stayed intact. This is Mayor John Tabro Chacho. I'm gracious in defeat. And you voted in the most peculiar way. But the job is yours if you could start today.
That was a beautiful classic from David Bowie versus Goliath.
This is a great visual. I have to admit, I was temporarily confused listening to that song at first when I thought that it was an ode to the mayo jar instead of Mayor John. I was like, what the hell does Nick have to do with this? Wrong Nick. You got the wrong guy. It started to make more sense after the fact. I got into some trouble with Nick earlier this week. I don't want to rehash it, but it was bad. Not great. It was not great. It's the worst I have felt on social media in a long time. Don't at me.
Nobody's done. This is major.
Oh, he can't even get it out.
Ground control to mayo jar.
No, not yet. Not yet.
All right. Next up, we've got one more song to our fallen mayor. Here's Ryan Hudson.
Wah, 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 Wanda. Wah, 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 Wanda. Wah, 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 wah.
Now this is a story all about how the Davids flipped the game upside down. Davey would like to take a minute with his idol flair. That's how Davey flipped the game on the Slamtown Mayor.
No, Nick is over there gung-ho. Bam, 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 bam.
In South Carolina, born and raised, spending time at Comic-Cons, he spends most of his days nerding out, swimming, hiking, biking, fishing, basically any outdoor activity that involves his husky. When a couple of brochachos that were up to no good, along with Mugman Christian, feared that it was him who would get voted out, but Davey's got an idol to spare. That's how Davey flipped the game on the Slamtown Mayor.
I'm ready to go. Get my black ass out of here. We saw a freaking palm tree coming out of a cliff, just like the symbol on the freaking whatever the thing is we just found. And
Dave pulled up to the tribal about 7 or 8 votes cast against Christian. Yo, John, smell you later. He looked at his Davids with his idol flair. That's how Davey flipped the game on the Slamtown Mayor.
Bam, 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 bam.
That was a great one from the Fresh Prince Siska.
So much Fresh Prince in this week's Wiggle Room. He got some Uncle Phil in there.
Yeah.
Will Susie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
What a great time.
What a time to be deceased. Josh, next up, we're going to talk a little bit about Angelina and her reaction to needing an immunity idol.
Here's a newcomer. Here's Audrey from Dallas.
Didn't say my name, did you say my name? This traveling about you. Don't let Davey play you. Start playing the shame. Coming strong, but guess what? Not for long. Because Mike's big mouth, we're going back, glass strong. Thanks to Alex Flip, the day that we're tipped. Off to our big scheme, that dummy makes me scream. Nick went to his side, so they wouldn't be blind. About this big move, because Mason Dixon line. Davey hatched a plan, and down the man. But we were all shocked, it was Mayor of Slam. Although people think I have a loyalty to Big John, it's a mystery. If it came between him and me, that Bill Johnson can take a seat over by Elizabeth, second member of jury. No one's talking from Davey. Jeff's off the torch, cause it's not me.
That was a great one from Destiny's Golden Child.
Ooh, GC. The original game changer.
Next up, we've got one from the Nick That Sucks with Becky and Taylor.
Oh, so Nick Majorano is here.
No, not that Nick That Sucks. Okay. With Becky and Taylor to talk about the strategy of working with Angelina.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I want a jacket, because I'm cool, Natalie. I really, 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 really want to hide it from Dan. If you want to be my ally, you got to give me your stuff. A jacket or an idol, my baby. Listen to me, Davey played this for Christian, now you play yours for me.
And that, according to my notes from Josh Wiggler, is an original composition from the Nick That Sucks with Becky and Taylor.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out the original source for that music, and I just couldn't, so I've deduced that that must be a completely original piece.
They wrote it themselves.
Entirely, like the instrumentation, everything, all done just originally for Wand Off.
And last but not least, we've got one more song about a woman that had the idol played on her, and it comes to us from a man who goes by many names. He was, at once, a man by the name of Phil T. Then he changed his name to Phil from Canada before then getting a new name of Uncle Phil. Here he is to talk all about Angelina.
That's so stupid.
The whole David side's gonna vote for Angelina, and I can decide whether I use my idol. Fine for our side, but I don't like Angelina, and it ain't Angelina. Psych! I thought for sure they would vote for Angelina. Now I'm going to cry, going to die, I'm embarrassed. I can't believe I wasted that on Angelina, cause I hate Angelina.
Yes, like
Angelina made me look just like a llama. This was double jump for three on Johnny Mundo. Why did we have to go back on double chuckles? Those two were my favorite people.
Hi.
I know it's not her fault, but I still blame Angelina. I said, wow, I'm all quiet, but your moment of weakness. By the way, have I mentioned I hate Angelina? I hate Angelina.
What a catchy dance number there from Brenda Los Del Rios.
Wow. Rob, I can't believe you don't know how to dance the Angelina, by the way.
I'm sorry, Casey is hogging the microphone.
Sure he is.
No, I know how to do it.
It's a very tepid Angelina, though.
You look really confused. You should have seen your face. All right, let's get into this week's Wand Off finalists here in a jam-packed week on the Wand Off. And before we get into it, I, Casey Kasem, want to accept full responsibility for what got in or did not get in to the top five songs this week. I just want to make sure that nobody at Rob Cesternino, even Pineapple Boy 27,
wow,
because I, Casey Kasem, made the final call on all of these.
Wow, Pineapple Boy 27's whole utility has already been retired. That was fast. That was really, really record time.
Well, you see, Josh, sometimes people at Pineapple Boy 27 and at Rob Cesternino in one tweet, which really defeats the purpose of there being a Pineapple Boy 27 Twitter account.
Wow. R.I.P. Pineapple Boy 27 died November 19th.
Not dying, but just reminding people to not include at Rob Cesternino in the negative tweets to at Pineapple Boy 27, or else it doesn't work.
The complaint is not lodged. Okay.
First up this week, we've got a song about a man that we've talked almost nothing about today, which is a rarity for this season on the Wiggle Room. We've got a song about Christian here.
Ooh.
From Shannon and a new co-collaborator, Justine.
Ooh, Bicky, you're so fine, you pull at time. Ooh, Bicky. Ooh, Bicky. Ooh, Bicky, you're so fine, everybody's favorite guy. Ooh, Bicky. Ooh, Bicky. Ooh, Bicky, you're so fine on the Mason-Dixon line. Ooh, Bicky. Ooh, Bicky. Ooh, Bicky, you're so fine. Broke chart, chose one, two, blind side. Ooh, Bicky. You made it to the merge, and that's a little long. Your threat level has surged, now we gotta see you gone. And you know what's the worst? They're all cheering you at home, Ooh, Bicky. Cause when you say a line, it's instantly a quote. Chompocalypse on mine, naming every episode. You're Jeff Rolf's favorite guy, and he's calling you Big Bang Theory. Ooh, Bicky, what a pity, couldn't vote for Dan. He would've hit the pop with an idol in his pants. Ooh, Bicky, John's the one who wound up being slammed. And lies like, ooh, Bicky. And it's a true pity, ooh, Bicky. It's stealing out all fishies. Ooh, Bicky.
That was a catchy tune by the artist Tony Basilvia Kwan. And it was not a scoot.
Oh, no, it was a little a scoot. Yeah, we didn't talk about Christian at all. The moment where Mike breaks down the fourth wall and says people are either rooting for him or yelling at us. And why haven't we started targeting him? That was terrific. That was great. That is the commentary from somebody who understands what it's like to be screaming at your TV when people are doing stupid things on Survivor. Very, very fun to see that on the show.
Josh, we've got a real treat for you here with our number two entry into this week's Wandoff. He's a man that we've already heard from once this week, and he's been really on fire. Here he is, Phil T / Phil from Canada / Uncle Phil / he submitted this as Pineapple Boy 27 featuring Phil from Canada.
Oh, man. This is exciting.
Freaking Backpack City Friends. Freaking Backpack City Friends. Freaking Backpack City Friends.
Pineapple on the beat. Oh.
Back city, we can back city, friends. 10 more down till we hit the end. 12 deep to keep all the Davids in. This Davey, know the kid, got a couple tricks. Got a twirly stick, stalling with a twirly stick. And a carrot cake, thinking I'm an idiot. Making Carl all route, and I'm selling it. Sneaky, sneaky Davey out here, Wentworth in. Culpepper way, hero move coming in. Vote Johnny, and the vote is split. Slam town, they need a fix. Davey Crockett moving in. Back city, Rickin' back city, friend. Back city, Rickin' back city, friend. Back city, Rickin' back city, friend. Take it over, slam metropolis. Back city, Rickin' back city, friend. Back city, Rickin' back city, friend. Back city, Rickin' back city, friend. 1 million when I hit the end.
I'm a silly little fruit. You know what I'm talking about. Contemplation make the wait real cute. Dan took his time, made Angelina poo. They're running Calo Calo. Smoke Johnny Mundo from the top row. Bop-o, pineapple go ham, going jumbo. Making baby have a racy portmanteau. Bro shot Joe, stab Christian's back. Digging them when the king up to bat. About to pop off Goliath's two stack. It's too late, Davey boy about to snap.
Fell in my trap.
Mike White's now a frightened little cat. Cat, kitty's out of the bag. You're a bad cat now, Davey's making me.
Rickin' backer.
Rickin' backer. The cat's Keffer. Back city, Rickin' back city, friend. Josh Wiggler, you're my best friend.
That was a jam from Tyga Trang.
Pineapple Boy 27 featuring Phil from Canada.
As the song was going on, I was thinking that I'd be here at the end saying, like, it was really more Phil from Canada featuring Pineapple Boy 27.
He has no ego.
Yeah, and then Pineapple Boy showed right up.
Uncle Phil has lost his mind.
Oh my God, we got pool sharked again. Classic. Classic Phil. Rest in peace, James Avery.
You want me to put him on?
Wait, what? What?
Oh, no. Next up, our third track of the week.
Just got that.
Here is Corey B.
That's so dumb.
Talking about Davey's distraction. Here's Corey B.
I found a note. A tree. Walking right by Goliath's. I'll follow your lead. But you've got a twirl. So I can be discreet. I didn't know that you were holding immunity. The secret advantage we're digging up. They don't see what we've done. We won't give Christian up this time. 'Cause Davey, oh, this great show makes your diversion grow. This was first found by DJ LaBelle Clyde. Davey, you're dancing on the rock, a stick between your arms. They were on the sand, commenting on your favorite stance. And we got the steal of vote. We'll give the credit for the note to this blurred, 'cause if you could twirl it tonight.
That one is actually my wedding song. From Big Ted Sheeran.
Wow, I love Big Ted Sheeran.
One of the most romantic guys around.
What a beautiful song. I want to just grind right up against it. I loved that song, and I did love that DJ LaBelle Klein was vindicated with the correct theory. Score another one for the Wand Off.
We've got another breakout artist coming to the top five this week on the Wand Off. His name is Matt P. We heard from him earlier tonight. Here he is singing about Mr. Davey Rickenbacker.
Yes.
Davey, we love you. Where have you been? You were almost purple. Got me wondering. Since that octopus and the idol fine, when will we pick up on the Davey storyline? Then I saw your six skills. Guess you're a fighter. And now you're working with a technical writer. Said I got a plan. Let's turn the tide. Then this blurred past approach at your blind side. And I was like, Davey, Davey, Davey. Oh, like Davey, Davey, Davey. Oh, like Davey, Davey, Davey. Oh, you finally got some screen time, time. Davey, Davey, Davey. Oh, like Davey, Davey, Davey. Oh, like Davey, Davey, Davey. Oh, you finally got some screen time.
That was a hit single from Justin J. Starrett Bieber.
Yes. Ah, yeah. Love the Biebs. I'm a believer. Better believe it. I liked it when he had the monkey, except it didn't seem like it was totally cool with the monkey.
You can catch him on his new reality series, X on the Bieber.
Next up, we've got another one from an artist that's picking up so much steam. The Tyler Jacob Jones fans will be thrilled to hear another top five entry for the Ghost Island champ. Here's Tyler Jacob Jones. That was a oldie but a goodie from the Excite Earls.
I was listening to that song last night while I was at my mother-in-law's house and she was making chicken fajitas. Fajitas? What is my problem today? Fajitas? Is this a Dragon Ball Z reference? What is happening?
That's where they make all of the Survivor Mexican food in Fujitas. Now, Josh, it was gross. Such a jam-packed week that we couldn't fit everything into a top five. And we've got a top six this week.
Wow, breaking news.
Off the top rope, brother.
Off the top rope indeed.
And we've got perhaps the hottest breakout Wandoff artist of Survivor, David versus Goliath. She's got two Wombat's hats and is going for a third.
Oh,
here's
man.
Karen from Canada, along with some guy named Sing It Jim.
Sing It Jim.
Ninja Davy on the shore, Goliath's watching, don't know what he's dancing for. He found a clue with an 80s design to go to the palm tree.
What's up, DJ LaBelle Klein?
The Dix and Carl. They're gonna go hard.
You mean hard like
a piece of wood? that's a huge
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, or 10 idols come out and the David slam John Hood
again. Chachos,
say your goodbyes.
Bro Chachos,
hashtag blindside.
Bro Chachos,
Ponderosa's where the mayor's at.
Bro Chachos,
as a reminder, Mike and Nick are still cats.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!
What a song!
Robinson.
The band Merge Feist.
No! this is all so bad! I said I was looking forward to this week's Wiggle Room, and now I regret it all! That was Shut Up Tim! If you didn't know!
According to my notes, that was Sing It Jim.
No, Shut Up Tim on track. He's in the top six. This is terrible news. Vote against this one. Do not let Shut Up Tim have a wombat. I'm putting my thumb on the scale. Take it off. Remove it.
No. Listeners can vote all week long when you go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda to cast your vote for the week 8 Wandoff. Of course, you can hear all 40 plus entries that we got into the Wandoff on our SoundCloud playlist available to all patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Special thanks to Randy Newpel, who keeps Casey Kasem quite sane every single week by adding all your entries to the SoundCloud playlist, and to Jason Curtis Rivera, who makes the amazing Wandoff music videos week after week.
Oh, I love you guys. You guys are great. You guys are good. The only good thing that's happening right now are those guys.
Josh, hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And Rob, I hope that you have all of the pie that you want and stop talking about it on the podcast.
All right. Thanks, Casey. All right. All right.
Sorry,
Josh.
I didn't mean to offend you. This wasn't, you know.
Who are you talking to? Me or Casey Kasem?
Yeah, with you. Our podcasting is usually fantastic. Sometimes it's hit, sometimes it's a miss.
All right. Well, look, Casey already piled on. We got it. You guys didn't like that.
I'm just saying. We've done over, 300 hours of podcasting together. Some of them are not going to land. It's all right. You know?
All right. Josh Wiggler.
Did I take as much responsibility? I take a big piece of pie on the pie bit failing.
Yes.
I'll take like a solid like 60% of that. I'll even take the majority.
60%. Yes.
I couldn't follow along. I couldn't do the math fast enough. I was equivocating. It wasn't good. And that's at least 60% mine.
Yes. I put you in a bad spot where you had to do quick math.
It was a great episode of Survivor and a fine episode of The Wiggle Room. You know?
All right, Josh, anything else that you want to talk about from this week as we head towards Thanksgiving and the 9th episode of David versus Goliath?
It's really no surprise that we haven't heard Nick's name for his alliance with Davey on the show, right? Like, that's not a shock. That's not a shock. I guess that's the only thing that we didn't talk about. In the social meds, he's revealed what that name is. It's really not a surprise that name didn't make it on the show.
Yeah. That name, we talked about that on the feedback show, but yeah, it's a portmanteau of Davey and Nick. They combined it to be Dick.
Can't be the Dicks.
No.
On Survivor, it's a family show. It's not going to work.
Although on Big Brother, I feel like they would shut that down. I guess on Survivor, they're just like, well, we just won't include that in the edit.
Yeah, it's like, it's your, your move. Yes. It's your show.
Did you see also that Nick revealed the alliance with Alec is he was the surf and turf.
Oh, I like that one.
You like that one. That was one of the better ones.
That's my favorite nickname other than the Cats. Okay. I think the Cats is still number one, but surf and turf is good.
All right. Next week, we will rank the top 8 Nick Wilson nicknames of the season on The Wiggle Room and much more. Of course, I was asked to give out the information if people want to send in a wand off. You can send them in to wiggleroom@robhasawebsite.com or wandoff@robhasawebsite.com. And you can get those into us until Monday morning.
And keep sending in your jacket design submissions.
Yeah, we've been getting a ton of them. I don't know what to do with them.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's talk about them. Let's see what we can come up with.
All right. Josh, anything else?
No, that's it. Check out the Probst interview if you haven't. thr.com/survivor. It's there. It's my pinned tweet @RoundHoward. Give it a read. Tell me what you think. And yeah, it's good stuff. And a happy Thanksgiving to everybody who is celebrating. I hope that you're all filled with all of the delicious treats that you want, even if that's not pumpkin pie.
Okay. All right. Great job, Josh Wiggler. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up this week. We are going to be back live with the Know-It-Alls on Thanksgiving Eve. And then I will have on Friday, I will be no exit interviews until Monday of this week because CBS is going to be closed the publicity department is going to be off because of the Thanksgiving holiday. We usually do our interviews on Thursday. So we will do our exit press on Monday after the long holiday weekend. We will have my recap podcast. I will be recording that on Friday with the queen of Survivor, the queen Unreal. Stays queen. Sandra Diaz-Twine is back.
Can you ask her what she thinks of Amy Diaz-Twine House's work?
You know what? I don't think I will be asking, throwing any curveballs. We'll be very, very straight-laced.
Down the middle. This is like an easygoing podcast to sucker her in for future appearances. You yes. want her to be wooed.
Welcome home.
Into returning. Yes. Yes. I like it.
And then on the feedback show over the weekend, I am going to be catching up with another Survivor winner. I will be checking in with Sophie G. Clark.
Oh, awesome. Sophie on the feedback show. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun as well. I talked to Sophie last Thanksgiving Eve or Thanksgiving weekend. So I don't know.
A tradition in the making.
If
you do it next year, it's the three in a row. We got to keep that going forever.
Can't wait to hear what Sophie has to say as well about the season. So lots of great stuff. Of course, we greatly appreciate all of the support from the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying this season as much as we are. We're having a lot of fun. robiswebsite.com/patron for the Wand Off SoundCloud playlist and much more at robiswebsite.com/patron. Josh Wiggler, I will talk to you next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Elizabeth and Angelina's feud. She said it's you. She told the truth. Elizabeth and Angelina's feud. Her point of view wants to save you. She made her delivery real smooth. She tried to soothe. Gabby saw through. I'm sorry the Goliaths have concluded that it's you. Wish it weren't true. She said I can't lie to you. The jury starts very soon. Blow it up at tribal. That starts Elizabeth and Angelina's feud.
Two things in life I don't like: lazy people and it's stupid people.
Feud.
I came here to win Survivor. I didn't come here to get voted out, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I knew that there's going to be a day like today right now. Stupid people.
There's fractures inside your Goliath crew. I thought you knew. Well, now you do. Elizabeth and Angelina's feud. Carl approves. Allison's immune. And Mike White needs a toy lot dramatically. Wipes tears on you. Christian was facing doom, but he's Goliath in bloom.
I, on the other hand, was a man.
So Strike Force will make it through, thanks to Angelina's move. Keep up the momentum on your swinging pendulum. Dinner bell at tribal council when you bang that frame. Keep up the momentum on your swinging pendulum. Allison needed new jewelry, Pope's hug ecstasy. Mike White lost his momentum, first one out of the challenge. There's no wiggle room in here, even though we're in it right now. I just broke the fourth wall of this wand off song. I will end it right now and get a soy latte.
I need a soy latte stat.